Did presbytery. I was turning on my mic secretly. I was going to surprise you, but I was like, it was a long day at presbytery yesterday, and so some of those details might have dropped, but we're so grateful that this church was able to have such a special time welcoming our partner churches throughout Northwest Georgia. And so I wanted to say a special thanks to all of you for that. And I know there are many volunteers, and I want to embarrass you for just a minute. If you volunteered to help host presbytery yesterday, whether you were there yesterday or not, if you helped in worship or in setting up or in providing food, would you be able to stand for just a moment? Thank you all for you can be seated. I just wanted to everyone see visually what kind of representation it took from this congregation and the kind of dedication this group has to being hospitable to our brothers and sisters in Christ in this community. And so thank you to all of you. I know that the church writ large is grateful for your help as well. Of course, today we worship and have much to celebrate and much going on in our community of faith. Before we begin worship, I'd like to take this time to invite you to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. You can sign them and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet one another by name during the peace or after worship. Visitors who would like to learn more about our congregation, we have Let's Get Acquainted cards in the seat rack in front of you. You can fill them out with any information or questions and put them in the offering plate later in worship as that passes by. There's one more brief announcement I would like to make before I open it up to you. Yesterday was a new format for our presbytery meeting, and we had the opportunity to have a couple of breakout sessions in the afternoon, which were workshops to learn more about ministry. In our context, there was one about evangelism, and there was one that I was particularly excited about called Darkness to Light Training. And I'm wearing this sticker. This is what I got for completing the training. And this is something that I know many of you have done in your professional capacity or as teachers and educators in our community. Darkness to Light Training is done by the Family Support Council, which put on Camp AIM, of which our congregation took part in this year. And Camp AIM, of course, is a camp to provide a healing experience for children who have been victims of sexual abuse. And Darkness to Light Training is what the Family Support Council provides to members of our community so that we can be aware about this issue and that if enough of us take that training, our community becomes a safer place for our children. And so many of us from this congregation were able to take this training yesterday, and we hope to provide more opportunities for the community to take this training at our church in the future. So if you see anyone else wearing this green sticker, that's what that means. I hope you'll take the opportunity to ask about how you can be involved in Camp AIM and this movement to educate our community about this important issue. So that's enough for me this morning. Now I'd like to open it up to any of you who have announcements to share of things that are happening in the church in the coming weeks. Yes, Anel.
Look forward to that at 3 o'clock next Sunday.
Thank you, Nell. And thank you for standing because I can embarrass you additionally and say a special thank you to you for coordinating all the food yesterday. That was quite a big job. Are there others? Yes, Alice. Thanks, Alice. Are there others? Thank you for all that you all do to make this community a special place and for your presence and the joy that you bring to worship. So with that joy and excitement that we share and all that God is doing, let us worship God and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbor.
Please stand for the call to worship. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing.
True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction.
Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life.
I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
And let us pray. Almighty God, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of your sheep. Gather us into his fold, where the injured may be healed, the lost restored, to feed one another with the knowledge and understanding you provide. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Gracious God, every week we gather in hope. We listen to the challenge of your word. We walk out the doors as ready disciples, and we fall short for the ways we take you for granted.
Lord, have mercy.
For idols that replace you.
Lord, have mercy.
For working for ourselves and neglecting rest.
Lord, have mercy.
For honoring ourselves instead of you. For hurting those we love.
Lord,
I think we're to continue. Hear our prayers, Lord, and have mercy. Gather us into the arms of your love and mercy. Place our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is with us no matter how far we try to go away from you. We pray in his name. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Have you all been taking trips this summer?
I have.
You have. I know
have.
You have. You have too? Where have you gone?
To Tennessee.
That's a long trip. What about you, Allie? Where have you gone?
I went to my grandpa and grandma.
You went to your grandparents' house? That's fun. Well, I have my bag, and I took on all our trips that we had last month, and we went a long way. We had to pack for lots of different things. So you'll get a chance to touch the bag in just a second. So I went to the mountains and to the beach and to visit family. So what kinds of things do you think I packed?
I don't know.
What kinds of things do you pack when you go to the beach?
Clothes,
yeah, clothes are important. What else?
Beach toys.
Beach toys, that's great, toys. We definitely have to have toys.
And
Sometimes we bring books. Do you bring books when you go on trips? All right, so can you help me find out what's in the bag? All right, we're going to open it. Can you tell everyone what's in there? What's in there? Nothing. That's right. Isn't that strange? How can I go on a trip with nothing in my suitcase? Maybe Andrew will go in my suitcase. All right, Andrew, can you hop out? I might need this. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story where Jesus sends his disciples on a trip. He tells them to go spread good news and help people who are sick and help people who are hurting. And guess what he tells them to bring? Nothing. It's like he's given them a bag with absolutely nothing in it. But you know what he says? He says that God will be with them wherever they go. And I think that's helpful to remember. Sometimes we go on trips and surprising things happen. We can never take everything that we need. We can never be ready all the time. But we know that wherever we go and whatever we do, God is with us. Can you say that with me? God is with us.
God is with us.
Can you say, God is with me? God is with me. Okay. And that's what the empty bag means. It means no matter where we go, no matter how much or how little we have, God is with us. So thank you for your help with my suitcase this morning. Now, will you help everyone out here pray? Can you repeat after me when we pray? Let's put our hands together and let's pray. God, we thank you for being with us no matter where we are. Help us spread good news as we look for you in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. In our first Scripture reading this morning, our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapters 9 and 10. Listen for God's word. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our next scripture reading this morning continues with a story from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Jesus has been working in the area of Galilee and named his disciples, and here he sends them out with a charge. From the Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them. For they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, unburden us of all care, worry, and anxiety as we listen to your word and as we respond to your call to join you at work in the world. We pray through the one who beckons us to follow, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every summer we have this routine where we travel and we go and visit all of our family. And on the way home, we start to plan for the next year. We know there are certain stops we have to make, but if we had limitless possibilities, where in the world would we want to go? Because we love to travel. One of the things I enjoy about being in this congregation is I can hear some of your stories about the places you've been. I never knew until a conversation this morning that I'd love to go to Tbilisi, Georgia. So you can guess who that is, maybe. One trip I'd like to take but haven't yet had the opportunity to is to hike a portion of the Appalachian Trail, that long stretch of hiking trail that runs from the mountains here in Georgia up to Maine. And I've never been on the trail before, and I don't know if I'd really want to hike the whole thing, but I know some people who have done that. If I ever get too exuberant, I think of the sister of a friend who made it all the way to Maryland before getting Giardia, which is a waterborne parasite. And so it's not the most romantic thing to do. But one day, I think I'd like to go hiking. So it's said if you ever want to hike a long distance, like on the Appalachian Trail, you need to pack light. For one, it's hard to go up any mountain carrying half your body weight in a backpack. Your knees can hurt just fine walking up the mountain without anything. And second, there are enough people who ignore this kind of advice that if you pack light, you're bound to find something that you could use on the first 50 miles of the trail because it's littered with things that people have cast away. Cheryl Strayed tells the story of hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, a similar journey in her memoir, Wild. And she describes her rookie mistake she made while packing for this trip. The day before she begins her walk, she's in a hotel assessing the contents that are to go in her backpack. And she lists the contents in her bag. Blue compression sack for her clothes, fleece pants, thermal shirt, underwear, gloves, sun hat, fleece hat, rain pants, a dry bag with 14 days worth of food, sleeping pad, headlamp, camp chair, bungee cords, water purifier, stove, gas canister, lighter, cooking pot, big cooking pot, utensils, sandals, towel, thermometer, tarp, mug, snake bite kit, Swiss Army knife, binoculars, rope, compass, and book on how to use a compass. First aid kit, toilet paper, trowel, toiletries and personal items, shampoo, conditioner, soap, deodorant, insect repellent, sunscreen, lip balm, metal lantern, and flashlight, two 32-ounce bottles and a 26-gallon Camel pack for water, matches, blanket, iodine, the book Staying Found, The Pacific Crest Trail, Volume 1, As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner, and a couple of other books and a professional quality 35mm camera with additional lens, flash, and tripod. Somehow, Strayed was able to take all of this and cram it into her backpack, and in her words, it wouldn't budge. She writes, "I squatted and grasped its frame more robustly and tried to lift it again, and it did not move, not even an inch. I tried to lift it with both hands, with my legs braced beneath me while attempting to wrap it in a bear hug, with all my breath and all my might and all my will and everything in me, and still it would not come. It was exactly like lifting a Volkswagen Beetle. It took a little bit of work and some shedding until Cheryl Strayed was able to step out onto the trail in earnest. So about the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus decides to send the disciples out on their own so they can get a taste of the kind of work they'll spend the rest of their lives doing. He orders them to go out into the world and preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He tells them, as you go, proclaim good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Now the job description is pretty clear. Preach, proclaim, cure, raise, cleanse, cast out. Action words that tell the disciples what they are meant to do. What Jesus doesn't tell them is how exactly are they going to do all of this. Might be helpful to have a little bit of instruction considering things like raise the dead or in the job description. But Jesus doesn't give the disciples any preparation and really not much warning either. And he doesn't tell them exactly where to go or what villages they will be going into, just avoid the Samaritans. He doesn't tell them what to bring or what sorts of things will be helpful on their quest. Actually, he tells them, don't pack anything at all, as if they would know what to bring. So most of the time we set out on journeys and we're not always sure what we need to pack. Since we visited all our family and did some additional travel the last few weeks, we had to pack a little heavy. Bags, clothes for days and weeks, food for the dog, a pack and play and a pop and play. And if you don't know what the difference between those two are, then good for you. Last year, we invested in a car top carrier, which meant that we could contain everything we would need for our adventures. It's one of the best things we have ever bought. And I don't think we're particularly heavy packers, but with two kids and a dog, all bets are off. Besides, you never know what you'll need. So this is true in life, too. You don't always know what you need for the road ahead, so you pack anything you can get your hands on. I think most of us like to think of our lives on a timeline or a trajectory. One chapter prepares us for the next. If we go to school long enough, we'll be ready for the next school and then the first job and the one after that. And if we pack all the information we've learned from those previous chapters and all our skills and our books, we feel like we have enough to carry us on to the next place and be successful. And this happens in our relationships too.
If we date long enough, eventually we'll find the right person and get married. And even if there are some troubles along the way, we can pack in some counseling and an album from happier times and of our romance, and we'll be ready for what's farther down the road. And this happens with our life of faith. We've been going to Sunday school since we were little, and we learned about Noah's Ark and David and Goliath. We were baptized. When we grew older, we went through a succession of patient teachers who confirmed us and led us in youth group and maybe even taught us a little of the catechism. When we got older, we read the Bible a little, even if we never did it as much as we should, but we learned enough to know where to stand on the issues of the day, and hopefully we're living as thoughtful and compassionate people because we're Presbyterian after all. And we have all the information and all the tools we need packed in our bag to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow him out into the world and continue trudging on no matter what obstacles we face. We have all that we need. If we're honest, I think we know that our best preparation and our best efforts will not, even with that, we will not be able to be ready for this trip. If only it were so simple. Nothing can prepare you entirely for the adventure and challenge of life. Nothing can prepare you for that time when you graduate and the possibilities of the world are completely open and it's terrifying. Nothing can prepare you for kids. Nothing can prepare you for the time when you reach the pinnacle of your career or your dream job and you realize that something's missing and you don't like the view as much as you thought you would. Nothing can prepare you for losing someone you thought you would never have to live without. This, I think, is the kind of fear and apprehension that the disciples must have felt listening to Jesus give their marching orders. They've been following him for some time, hanging on to his every word, maybe. They've seen him heal and exercise and challenge authorities and work wonders, and now they have to do it too. Nothing that they have seen or done could prepare them to do this. What do they possess that could actually help them on this journey? Jesus predicts this question in his charge to them, and he tells them, absolutely nothing. Nothing you can bring with you will help you in this work of life. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, two tunics or sandals or staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. There is nothing you have, nothing you can acquire that will help. Take the absolute minimum. Don't just leave your wallet behind. Leave all your money. Don't take anything with you, not a bag to carry anything. Don't take a change of clothes or even shoes or a staff to help you walk. Don't think anything you could use to sustain yourself. And if you listen to what he says, it sounds like this won't be any help either. He says, see, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. A wallet and some food and the paltry things we carry with us will not help us accomplish what Jesus has in mind. Not against rulers and kings, not against the rejection that Jesus promises. So maybe this isn't the best recruitment poster for the Christian life. Really, what Jesus is saying is, if you follow me, you won't be able to sustain yourself, not by your own efforts. Actually, you'll have to give up something to follow. Sometimes people take these words literally. This story is what inspired St. Francis to scorn his family wealth and his connections and to live like a beggar, caring for the poor. Remember, on the other hand, the rich young ruler who asked Jesus what it meant to follow and was sent away grieving because he had many possessions.
You have to give something up. We might think of this a little bit more metaphorically. We have to give up parts of our past or our future. We might have to give up on the hopes we have for ourselves and start to think about the hopes that God has for us instead. Maybe you have a hurt that you carry with you or a heartache that prevents you from following. Maybe you think you're too physically or emotionally limited to do what Jesus asks. That's the kind of baggage he asks you to put down. This can be true for churches. We have baggage too. They could be stories or traditions or programs or patterns of life. They can be expectations that the future will be like the past or that if we just hold on to what we have, that will be enough. Sometimes that's what holds us back from God, and we have to let go. Nothing can prepare us for life in God, life following Jesus. And that's the good news. All we can do is give up on the preparation. It is God Himself who provides the way. Jesus is the one who calls. Jesus is the one who sends. Jesus is the one who will speak for us even when we don't have the words. Jesus is the one who sends us out like sheep in the midst of wolves because He's in the shepherd, and that's what the shepherd does. We give up our baggage, anything that holds us back, all that belongs to us, to discover what all this is about anyway, the most important thing that Jesus says, that we belong to God instead. And that's gaining more than we could ever give up ourselves. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word, God's promise to be with us, let us confess our faith together. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus calls us to go, and we follow. Let us follow, and let us worship God by returning to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Before we join together in prayer, are there any joys or concerns or requests to share this morning? Let us pray together. God, we come to you empty. What have we received that does not come from your hand? Unburden us of the things that we carry. Take our offerings and our gifts. Take our lives and our discipleship, our work and our following, and transform us by your Spirit into ones who preach and heal, teach and cure. Join us with the risen Christ that we might be his representatives in this world, and so extend your love and grace to all creation. Lord, in your mercy. God, what we offer this day does not compare with what we have received from you. And we thank you for all that people gathered here, for gifts and stories shared, for teachers who guide us in the knowledge of you, for friends who share burdens and heartbreak, for voices that sing your praise, for hands that extend your love into our community. For all this, we are grateful and we give thanks. Lord, in your mercy. God, we thank you for this community gathered in hope and for the wider community of churches in our presbytery and all its members we join in common mission and ministry. We're hungry fed, for homeless housed, for good news to the downcast, for all of us you have called. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those you have led us to serve in our own communities, for the children of Camp AIM. We thank you for their bravery and hope, for the stories they share and the healing that they have received and give in turn. Bless them as they grow and change, and as they become the people you created them to be. We thank you for volunteers whose hands have given food and healing, for camp staff and camp supporters, and especially we pray for the vulnerable children in our community who fear or suffer violence, even from people they know. Teach us by your Spirit how to bring good news to those we encounter in places like these, and how to offer the healing you have given us all. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we remember concerns in our own lives and in our families, in our community, those in need of healing too. We pray for those dealing with illness, for Ann Farrow, for Dick Lowry, Sally Wester, and others who are close to our hearts. We pray for those whose wounds are less visible, for the grieving and downhearted, those who are searching for your hand in their lives, but do not know where to look. Send us to such as these. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer through Christ our Lord. We ask in hope, knowing that he is leading us down the road of faith into your presence through our worship and work, and through the prayer he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
and we follow him into the world, not to leave our lives behind, but to discover our life with him. And may the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.